Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors. Yeah, it's time to hop on the crazy train.
All aboard!
Welcome to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors, presented by Coleman Insect Repellents. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Midwestern Shooter Supplies, Cutting Edge Outdoors.
And welcome back, folks, for the second hour of this ride on this here crazy train. We're talking about a lot of stuff today, hunting and fishing and different things. If you got any questions or comments, 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. Like I always tell you in the beginning of the show, at 6 a.m. and at 7 a.m., we do come to you live every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. And we're on two stations. We're on 1250 a.m. or 105.7 FM, The Fan. Either one you can catch us on. Anyway, and he's Danny Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. On the boards producing is Ryan Horvat. And I just want to let everybody know that don't forget that after the 7:15 break, we will be playing the NFL football picking contest, brought to you by Curly's Waterfront Pub. Win a $10 gift certificate by tying or beating any one of us three here on the show. And trust me, everybody wins. So, anyway, Danny, did you get that coffee?
They got that coffee. Couple announcements.
Yeah.
October 13th, the 10th annual Salmon Spectacular will be going on from 9 to 3 p.m. at the DNR facility, Lincoln Park, Racine. So they're going to have tours, hands-on demos, demos of fish spawning, which means two guys are going to dress up like fish, and then they're going to kind of slap against each other and roll around on a wading pool and show you how fish spawn.
Oh, really?
Well, that's what it said, hands-on demo fish spawning. How are they going to demo that?
Hands-on.
Well, I think they got the facility where you can actually
See the fish spawning.
And they're going to have casting, all kinds of stuff. So
sounds fun.
Pretty interesting, yes. And, the Pewaukee Lake, the John Layman Memorial Three Charlies Muskie Invitational is Pewaukee Lake, Saturday, October 20th, 2018. Only $150 to enter, trying to get 50 boats in there. First place, $2,000. And there's other prizes and hats and horns at midnight, all kinds of cool stuff going on. So if you're interested, you can call Smokey's Muskie Shop at 262-691-9659 or swing on by and say hello to one of the trained technicians.
Mm-hmm.
They'll tell you what's going out on the lake, what kind of tackle, gear, baits, and you can pick up an entry form.
And half of the proceeds go to stocking Pewaukee Lake with muskies.
Yep.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, Danny, from what we were talking about before, I got to tell you, you mentioned the fact on when you're setting. Oh, you got a caller there for us? No? Okay. You were talking about if you're too close, you don't want those hooks flying back at you. I know I've told this story before, but maybe some of our listeners haven't heard it. Maybe you forgot it. I don't know. But I was out with my friend, the no-name bookie, and he never musky fished before. This is a number of years ago. And we were on Pewaukee Lake, and we had a couple suckers out, and we were fishing in the narrows, and it was cold out, you know, it was fall, and we're casting. And anyway, the one sucker on the one rod. Now, mind you, in the narrows, your line is only down maybe 8 feet because we were in like 12, 13 feet of water. So you're only down about eight feet.
Yep.
And so he set the hook. You know, I told him what to do. He did it. He's got the rod just bends over. He's got a fish on. And she came up, and I know it was a she because she was big. She comes up to the surface, and I've got the net out, but it's about 2 feet away. And I'll regret this to the day I die. I gave him bad information. Instead of telling him to loosen up the drag a little bit and play it out, you know, because it's pretty green, that fish was only 2 feet away from the net, okay? And I said, just pull her in, Dom. Oh, I shouldn't use his name. Just pull her in, no name. Just pull her in. Well, that 50-pound test braid wasn't going to break. That 60-pound test wire leader wasn't going to break.
The hook's going to bend.
The 4-aught heavy-duty hooks, they ain't going nowhere. If something's going to give, it's going to be the hooks coming out of that fish's mouth. And that's exactly what happened. He pulled one way. She turned her head the other. And this fish was, you know, it's hard to tell. She was around that 50-inch range, give or take an inch or two. But she was really round, really fat. So when he pulled one way, she pulled the other. Those hooks came out. And mind you, that she's only like 8 or 10 feet away.
Yep.
Those hooks came out, and you could actually hear them go right by his face. The sinker, the hooks went right by his face. I mean, another like 4 or 5 inches, and his face would have been full of treble hooks. And so I felt bad, number one, he missed the fish. I felt bad that I told him the wrong advice. I felt bad that he almost ripped his face apart, you know. Might have ended up looking like the Joker in Batman. But he kind of already does, but never mind that. Anyway, but, you know, to this day, I felt bad about it. But it all happened within maybe 30 seconds. I mean, it all happened so fast. You're right. If you're too close sometimes and they come out.
I've had some lost fish. I've probably told the stories before. One time I was on, years ago, on my little aluminum boat. I was up on Lake Vue d'Isere. Mm-hmm. And I used to go there this time of year, and I'd be the only guy in the lake sometimes, and I as dumb as I was in my little aluminum boat, I actually was onto a pattern where I'd always get on muskies with the suckers. I found a spot, and one time I was, big breeze, wind blowing. It was just blowing me fast, and something I thought grabbed the sucker, or I had a snag. So then when I, you know, got on the trolling motor, which could barely, that little rear trolling motor on the back, you know, could barely handle going into the heavy waves, I got a little, you know, got up a little closer, and then I pulled and tugged on the line, and I could feel definite fish.
Was that a time when you were using the single hook, J-hook? Yeah.
Well, actually, you know what I had done? I had a single hook, but then I had taken a wire, and I had tied a treble onto the back. Mm-hmm. But my mistake was I thought I was like hooking up like a treble, you'd hook a little shiner with a treble under the rear dorsal fin,
under the
backbone.
Yeah.
I had put that rear treble under the backbone of a sucker.
Okay.
You cannot rip that out of the backbone of a sucker.
That's
so
not good.
When I set the hook, Tom, as soon as I got off the trolling motor, I'm blowing it Mach 10 across like a sailboat across the lake. So as I'm blowing, I wind down tight, and I gave the a mighty hook set. Now I was using like the 36-pound Dacron at the time. Had this one real stiff 6'4" rod, real stiff. And I'm telling you, man, it just bent that rod, and it stopped the boat.
Really?
Stopped the boat. And then I was literally pulling, just like you're in a canoe and you hook a log and you're pulling your canoe towards the log on the snag.
Yeah.
I was pulling the boat against towards, and then I could feel the fish coming up. And all I can say is it sounds cliche to say it felt like a log coming up, but that's what it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
Just this huge, heavy weight. And it got up just to the point where I'm thinking, holy, and I hadn't caught a big muskie at that point. Maybe I'd caught a 36, 37 incher. So I'm, you know, sitting there I'm all by myself. I'm all excited thinking, oh, my God, what am I going to see? Vue d'Isere has, you know, world record tiger muskie out of there. And this thing was big. And just to the point where it's maybe, I don't know, 10 feet under. It's not a crystal clear lake, but it's not dark either. All of a sudden, it just let go. And the sucker comes popping up. Now, it was a 17-inch sucker. Giant jaw marks on it. It didn't get a hook. And I was like, oh, my God, I just wish I'd have seen that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a big fish because I couldn't, you know, at first, like I said, it was like a tree pulling my boat on the bottom, like you'd hook the bottom.
Yeah.
Wow. Another big one I lost was on Oconomowoc one time. Steve Milliot was out. He was fishing the little part. And I was with my buddy Skip at the time, and we went on the big lake. And working that deep, that weed, you can actually see the drop off there. It's so clear. And you just work that. And I was I was trying to stay in that 18 feet of water, and I had a sucker. And one grabbed the sucker, and it before I, you know, instantly it swam out to 30 feet of water. So I tried to get a little closer with the boat, like you said, so you're not way far away. And I went and gave mighty hooks that, and again, big that big rugged rod I bought from you years ago when you ran your shop. It doubled that big rugged rod over, and then phew, it was just like the line had broke. And I'm like, what the heck? And I wind in. It had bent the hook out to a 45-degree angle. Yeah, it was a Pete Maina liftoff rig.
Wow.
And it, with a heavy hook, it bent the hook out. And again, I didn't budge that fish. And that's another one I, you know, the hook, the sucker was gone, the hook was bent, and that's another one I sometimes have nightmares about.
Wow. You know, when the no-name lost that fish, when I made him lose the fish, he wasn't upset at all. He said to me, he said, oh, was that a good one? Because he didn't know it was a good one. I said, yeah, no name, that was a good one. That was one you'd want to put on the wall. And then he says, oh, how much money did you save me? And I said, well, if they were charging $10 an inch, it'd be about $500. He says, oh, good thing I didn't catch it then. You saved me money. And he laughed about it. So I'm glad he took it in stride.
I did catch a 48-incher with Dr. Maiman a couple years ago. And it's funny, the fish, he's casting in the front of the boat. And there was, you know how sometimes you wonder whether the sucker's in the weeds or it's a fish? There was no question on this one. It grabbed, and it just took off, and it's going, and it's picking up speed even faster. And I'm like, Dennis, you got a fish back here. And he's finishing his cast. I go, Dennis, you got a fish back here. He's kind of finishing his conversation. I said, Dennis, you got to get back here and get this fish. He goes, I know. I'm moving slow, so I remain calm. So when he got back there, there was no get close to it. It was time. We got to set this hook.
So
he set the hook, and I swear to God, there must have been 40 yards of line out by that point. God. And that was a 48-incher, and I could tell instantly that it was a big fish. So I reached over and loosened the drag, and that thing gave a battle, man.
Jumping
at the boat and making power runs. And,
this
is the biggest muskie to date. But hook set was good. We nailed that one, and it got off in the net. I was able to get it unhooked perfectly, so it wasn't hooked too deep or anything. But that's my last big sucker muskie, actually.
Well, maybe this year will be good. Anyway, we got to go to the break now, and coming up next is the NFL football picking contest brought to you by Curly's Waterfront Pub on Pewaukee Lake. Be a contestant. Be the third caller, I guess, Ryan. Whatever caller Ryan wants to take, third caller. And you will win a $10 gift certificate, $10 gift certificate to Curly's Waterfront Pub. Call right now, and we'll be right back. It is now time for the NFL football picking contest. And we do have a contestant, right, Ryan?
Yes, we do actually have a contestant today, so that's always good. And so let's go to Kevin. And all right, Kevin, how you doing, man?
Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, you know how this works, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and you're gonna win a $10 gift certificate to Curly's Waterfront Pub. All you got to do is tie or beat one of us.
All right.
I think you can do that. It's pretty easy.
It was a rough week for everybody last week. 1-3. I went 3-1.
Everybody else went 1-3.
Everybody else went 1-3. The season totals, we'll just, you know what, let's get to those like week 6 because they're not looking so good right now. we'll worry, except for me.
But, except
you know,
for you.
Yeah, but you know how that goes. Okay, let's start. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're at the Chicago Bears, and the Bears are favored by 3 points.
Ask the caller.
Yeah. What do you think, Kev?
Probably the Bears.
Ooh, Kevin's going to go with the Bears. Okay.
I'm going to go. Are you ready there? I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
To cover the 3 points?
Oh, yeah.
All righty. Oh, Danny.
Yeah. I'm taking a knee over here. I'm boycotting the NFL.
I'm He's taking a knee.
Okay. Well, I might. You know, they actually talked about, I got an email about someday in November. Oh, the veterans in November that weekend, they're talking about boycotting, not watching the NFL if this taking a knee crap keeps going on. Anyway, I'll take the Bears.
So I'm going to take the Bears with you guys to cover the 3 points at Soldier Field. The Vikings already played, and then the Badgers have a bye week. So we actually got three games today, too.
Okay.
Just going to throw that out there. All right, we got the Lions traveling to take on the Dallas Cowboys next. The Cowboys are favored by 3 points at home. Kevin, what do you think?
I'll go with the Cowboys.
All right, Kevin's going to take the Cowboys. I'm actually going to take the Lions. I think they're the better team. They're coming off that big win against the Patriots. Danny, what do you think?
Jets.
Good. Just going to throw another team out there.
Where are the teams again?
Lions and the Cowboys.
Oh, the Cowboys for sure. The Lions are junk.
I'm going to take the Cowboys as well.
So everybody's taking the Cowboys.
Only because they're in Texas.
They got hot cheerleaders.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
All right. Then the final one.
How those girls never age, I don't know.
Tomorrow at noon. We got the Bills and the Packers. The Packers favored by 9.5 points at home at Lambeau Field. I'm going to take the Packers. I think they win by double digits. I hope.
Okay.
Kevin?
Kevin, what do you got?
I'll go with the Pack.
All right, Kevin. My kind of guy. Danny?
I'll go with the McPackers.
And Tommy, you're going to take the Bills. I just know you are, aren't you?
How did you know that? I think the Packers will win, but I don't think they're going to cover. Until they show me.
Okay, so you're not going to take the money line Bills, though, right? Packers are going to win the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Until the Packers show me that they got a secondary, I'm sorry. No, I'm going to go with the Bills and the 9.5 points. Yep, definitely.
Fighting Micah Hydes. All right, Kevin.
Yep.
We got your information, man. Good luck this week, okay?
Hey, thanks.
All right, thanks,
sorry,
Kevin.
Sorry, I know that was your caller. I don't know why I'm telling you.
That's fine. That's fine.
You're the producer, dude.
Taking the dang show over.
Yeah, everything that I've heard, that I've seen, and everything that happened last week, I'm sorry. Packers got to prove it to me that they can go out there and win by double digits, you know, cover a almost a 10-point spread, you know. They got to prove it to me. I mean, that's a lot of points in the NFL. And if the Packers win by, let's say, 14 or more, I'm a happy camper.
Me too.
I don't mind. So, anyway, yeah. God, that's a lot of paper.
I know, man. I'm sorry. I like to sometimes rip it off and leave myself little notes.
Oh, Danny.
Yes.
So,
I got to tell you something that happened. You know, John's wife, Loie.
John, our former...
Yeah, John's wife, Loie.
Yeah, co-host.
Okay, so get this. She broke her foot.
Yeah, I heard.
Did you hear how?
She dropped something on it,
okay,
I heard.
Okay, so this week, I'm at my place, right?
Yeah.
And I hear this big kaboom from downstairs.
Yeah.
But I always hear noises. I almost went to investigate. Well, about a short while later, I get a phone call. And I normally don't even, you know, pick up my phone right away. But for some reason, I pick up my cell phone and Loie goes, I had this giant countertop fall on my foot and it's bleeding a lot. Can you come down?
Yeah.
So I go running down there and there's like this couple hundred pound, big, heavy.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are they, marble or whatever they're out of?
Granite, I think she gets.
And countertop. And she's on the floor. It's on her foot.
Oh.
There's blood everywhere.
Oh.
And now I got to try and pick this thing up, and you can hardly get your fingers underneath it. And let me tell you, it was heavy. So then I run and grab my first aid kit, and I grab the gal who's big guy's wife at the magic shop. I run and grab her quick. She comes, and she kind of helped Loie get into the bathroom. But when she came out, I got my first aid kit. I bundled it all up.
Right.
I got a cold pack, put that on there.
Yeah.
Then I took my big hunting sock and cut it down the middle and slid the sock over
because
her foot was still had all kinds of blood on the bottom.
Yeah.
And off to urgent care we went. And an hour and a half later, she was on her way out in a boot. Broke her foot, man. So
now some of the metacarpal bones she broke on the top?
On top, she broke two.
Two of them.
Two breaks, but it's clean break.
Yeah, and but a big gash must have been in there,
well,
too,
I thought for sure she'd need stitches, but evidently it wasn't deep enough where it needed stitches. But it, tell you what, it bled like a son of a gun.
Well, on the top of your foot, you got those veins that are real close.
Well, that's the thing, It's one of those, kind of like the top of your head, I think, where it bleeds.
Yeah.
Bleeds like crazy.
Oh, man.
So now I need a new first aid kit because I busted that one open. I ran it. It's the one from my boat.
Yeah.
So I grabbed it.
You know, good thing you brought that up because every angler should have a first aid kit in their boat. You never know what's going to happen.
Boat or car.
Or car even,
realistically, you should.
Yeah.
And if possible... an EpiPen isn't a bad idea to have if somebody has an allergic reaction to something.
But those are expensive nowadays.
But more and more people are allergic. Yeah. Like when I grew up, I had asthma and everybody looked at me like I was some kind of freak when I couldn't breathe at summer camp. I mean, I was like the rarity.
Yeah.
Now it seems like you get a list of kids in a school and like, you know, 4 out of 10 in a class seem to have, you know, some severe allergy to something. So,
right.
I don't know. But not a bad idea having the... having a first aid kit. So I took I took what's left of the first aid kit, which is most of it, and I put it under the seat of my car.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I'm not allergic to bees because I tried fighting a nest of yellow jackets. I didn't win. They got me a whole bunch of times.
Well, they used to have the stuff that you could spray. John used to have this at the Muskie shop. He had some stuff that actually worked, where you'd hit that thing 10 feet in the air, a big giant wasp or something, and it would drop them like a stone.
Oh, really?
Now the stuff, you can shower them with it, and it doesn't kill them. But I'm thinking back to the time it was blowing back, and I was that's probably why this stuff is so weak now, because not only did it kill those things on contact, it probably wasn't safe for me to be using.
Well, now, Dave, I've tried them all. And the best one, without a doubt, is the Raid Wasp and Hornet Killer. Raid is the best, without a doubt. I've tried all these name brand ones from, or brand names from different companies and all that. Yeah, they'll kill the wasps, the yellow jackets, whatever, but they'll kill them, but it just takes a while. You know, you spray them with it. I mean, knock them down even, and they'll get up and fly away. Now, granted, they're going to die sooner or later someplace. But I want those babies to drop now. And that Raid, that's the best stuff, without a doubt. And where did my co-host go? He's in the back room over there talking to Ryan. Oh, my God. Yeah, if you got any questions or comments, we're coming up to a break now. But got any questions or comments, you just give us a call at 414-799-1250. Now you might be out duck hunting today if you're a duck hunter and you're not hearing this, but if you know somebody who's a duck hunter and they had some good success, maybe they want to brag a little bit, tell them to call next week. Hey, Ryan, we got to go to a break. Got to let him know back there. He's busy working. Man, that guy is busy. They talk about Mike McGivern being the busiest man in show business. No, in radio business. I think it's Ryan here.
Yeah.
He's the busy guy.
We had 2 minutes before the break, okay.
Maybe we could lobby for you and getting you a raise, you know, because you do so much here.
Yeah,
know?
Good luck.
I'll email Tom. During the break, I'll email our boss, Tom, okay?
Yeah, I'll do that for me. We'll see.
All right. We'll see how that works.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks, with more on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors, 799-1250. We've got the hunting season going on now, Tom. Has your son been doing any bow hunting yet?
Well, not this last weekend. They moved into their new home, but the weekend before, he was up in Buffalo County, and he said the mosquitoes were terrible on the ground. But once he got up in his tree stand, he said they weren't as bad up in the tree stand. But Saturday afternoon, he calls us and he says, "Yeah, I'm driving home." And I says, "It's Saturday afternoon. Why are you driving home on Saturday afternoon?" His three-year-old son, my grandson Van, broke his femur. That's his thigh bone. Broke it in half.
Oh, my God.
So little three-year-old's in a body cast for the next eight weeks. So he's got he's got 6 weeks to go now. So poor kid. So he wasn't able to get up there again because they moved into the new house last weekend. And I don't think his wife's going to let him go until that whole house is situated. So I think she's going to put her foot down.
So I'm considering going bow hunting this weekend, Tom. And I'm thinking of trying to use one of those kiosks to get my deer tested. Should I shoot one? Do you know anyone who has used that?
I thought. Did Keith the electrician do that?
I don't know.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if anybody's done that.
Used one of those kiosks, give us a call.
Yeah, if you've used those, give us a call. I don't know. Who do you got on the line, Ryan?
Lucas had a question, I believe, for you guys.
Hey, Lucas. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, I just had a quick question. Would you guys walleye fish for the fall walleye run here? Do you guys use more plastics or minnows yourself?
Minnows. I use more minnows. Definitely. Yeah. Bigger ones. Like the chubs or small suckers or chubs, about 4 inches or so, maybe even 5. Depending if you want to go for little walleyes or big walleyes. But yeah, that 4-inch size, I definitely like those. Yeah, definitely.
Really quick then, do you just use a circle hook right through the nose of them?
No, I use a regular hook. And sometimes I'll put it on a jig. You know, unless I'm going to put it on a minnow harness. I mean, a minnow rig, a spinner rig. You know, with a bottom bouncer.
Sure.
I might do that. Otherwise, I'll have it with a jig. I really don't do much. Although we're planning next week to do it with slip bobbers. So then it would just be a hook and a sinker. You know.
Perfect.
So, but I'll tell you, what are you talking about? Lakes around here.
Mostly like the Rock River, Mississippi.
Have you ever gone
to the river?
Have you ever gone up to the Fox up by Green Bay?
Oh yeah, that's mostly spring, but I've never done it in the fall. I've heard good things, obviously it's not as crowded. So.
Lucas, I'll tell you what I prefer it in the fall, for a couple of reasons. Number one, not as many boats. Okay, and number two, you still catch a lot of walleyes. It's just that you're not going to catch that 12, 13, 14 pounder. Okay.
Sure.
But you will get a lot of quality fish and a lot of fish. But the main thing is this, there's less people. And you know how everybody goes up to the dam?
Sure.
And there'll be 100 boats up there? There's just as many good spots downriver towards the bay. A lot of good spots down that way. A lot of good ones, you know, a lot of good ones. Did you ever go other places than the dam area?
I have. I got side imaging 3 years ago, and then changed my walleye fishing in rivers eventually. I wouldn't go out there without that thing.
Really? You know, I've heard that from more people. I don't have that, okay? But I hear it's pretty darn awesome.
I find new spots every time I fish.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
And you see the fish too, right?
You can pick out schools of fish. I mean, the only problem, I wish I would have gotten the high-speed transducer because I have to be going less than 4 miles an hour
in order
to pick out the fish. But,
okay.
Acres Away does a really good job. They put that in for me. So
oh, they did.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
The only problem with those side imagings, they're not cheap, are they?
No, I actually got it at a deal a couple of years ago. But, I mean, you're probably looking at around 1,000. I would recommend getting the bigger screen if you do it.
Yeah.
Because if you're running side imaging, you're going to want the down imaging as well. Too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. That's just unbelievable.
What kind did you get? Sorry, Tom.
That's right.
I got the Hummingbird. I believe it's a 9. Oh, I'd have to look. It's on a 9-inch screen. It's one of the older ones. It's not going to be the newer one. I think the newer ones are the Helixes.
Yep.
I didn't get that one, so it's an older unit, but it still does the trick. So.
Cool.
Now, if you do go up to the Fox River, do you fish on weekends or do you get to go during the week?
I have a lot of PTO for work, so I actually have a trip coming up. I was going to go out to Genoa, but that's up in the air, so I might as well stay in the state.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, if you go up to Green Bay on a weekend, a perfect time to go is actually on the Fox River is on when the Packers are playing.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah.
Because That river is there. You might see a handful of boats. That's it, maybe. You know, I mean, it's void of boats because they're all at the stadium, right? So,
sure.
But the thing is that you either have to leave an hour before the game is over or 2 hours after it's over. Otherwise, you'll run into the traffic. So, but if you get out there in the morning and let's say leave at 2 o'clock. Beautiful. Perfect. You won't have many fishermen out there, very few boats, and you won't run into all that traffic. That's the way we used to plan it.
Well, I learn something new every time I listen to you guys, so I really appreciate it.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, Lucas. We appreciate it, too. Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Hey, Danny.
Yeah.
How about I give away a Cubby Minimite hat free of charge? What do you think?
That sounds like a good idea.
All right. And these are like, I don't know, $20, $25 hats. They're really quality hats. They're really nice. So if you call now at 799-1250, that's 414-799-1250, I'm going to ask you a question. It's on a state record, okay? A state record. And we had talked about it before. We had talked about the species of fish during the show. So if you call now, I'll ask you what I'll name the species and what the state record is, and I'll give you a 2-pound leeway, okay? If you come within 2 pounds, okay? So that's a pretty big leeway, Danny, don't you think?
Great leeway, Tom.
Yeah, I think. Okay, we got some callers now. Ryan will get a hold of them on the phone, and we'll just pop somebody up there, Ryan, and I'll ask this question. This is. And because we were talking about this before, so this you might find interesting.
When we come back, I want to talk about CWD a little bit, Tom.
Yeah, and we got to see if we got a caller that anybody who's used those kiosks. Are you ready? Who do you got?
Jim.
Jim? Yeah, pop Jim up there. Good. Hey, good morning, Jim.
How are you?
All right. Earlier in the show, we were talking about brook trout and how they're beautiful-looking fish. Now, Lake Michigan actually has brook trout in it, and the state record brook trout from Lake Michigan, because they have outlying waters and inlying waters. The outlying water Lake Michigan brook trout record is 10 pounds, 1 ounce. So within a 2-pound leeway, high or low, what is the inland brook trout state record?
7 pounds.
Oh. That was really close. That was close, Jim, but it's over the 2-pound leeway.
Okay.
But thanks for trying. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks.
Bye. All right. Next week, we'll try another one. See, I can't ask it again because people will just Google it. It was 9 pounds, 15 ounces. So
state
it was almost.
Record inland brook?
Inland brook.
Brook trout.
Inland brook.
No way.
915. Yeah, that's crazy.
That had to be one that ran in from the Great Lakes was caught inland.
No, it was caught on Prairie River in Lincoln County.
BS huge. Meter. What year was that caught? Like 1832?
1944.
9-pound brook trout?
Here. Yeah. Guess this.
What's
one,
What's the
Danny?
World record brook trout?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. But here. Brown trout inland. Now the Lake Michigan brown trout is 41 pounds, 8 ounces.
Yeah, that I know.
That's big. Inland brown trout. I've never caught one over 10 inches. Okay. Inland brown trout.
12, 13.
18 pounds, 6 ounces. And you know where it was caught from?
Lake Geneva.
Lake Geneva.
See,
in 1984.
I know my stuff.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine? Yeah.
I can see
inland,
from a lake. Well, maybe.
Wow.
Well, how about the brook? Was that caught in a lake too? Not because then maybe
I don't think so.
You said it was a river.
I think it said.
Okay, get that book out there.
Yeah, it says brook here. Yeah, Prairie River.
Prairie River, but you know, if anybody catches one that big, they're probably going to lie about where they caught it anyway.
I'm looking up for you the brook trout world record.
Yeah, look that up for me, Tom.
There's a lot of trout in here.
You know, the brook trout is actually a member of the char family.
Char family, yeah.
Is the lake trout, yet for some reason we call them trout because they kind of.
You know what else a brook trout is known by?
A coaster.
No, speckled.
Speckled trout.
Okay, the all-tackled World River coming from Nipigon River in Ontario, Canada, was 14 pounds, 8 ounces. Oh. Catch this. 2-pound test line record. 7 pounds, 8 ounces. You know who by? On God's River from Manitoba by our friend Joey Booker.
Joe Booker?
Yeah.
Joe really? Booker's,
yeah.
He caught it on a two-pound test?
2-pound test, yeah. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Got his name in the record book there. Yeah,
did not know. But, man, brook trout that big, I just can't imagine. I'd love to see one like that, you know, in person.
Speaking of Joe Booker, you know, our friend Rod Grimmie briefly brought up, before we go to break here, briefly brought up the fact that Tony Rizzo recently passed away.
Oh, yeah, that's sad.
And, you know, I just want to put a shout-out to Tony Rizzo. You know, Tony Rizzo was Joe Booker before Joe Booker was Joe Booker. Tony Rizzo was Pete Mania before Pete Mania was Pete Mania. Tony Rizzo was the man back in the day, catching a lot of big muskies on those small lakes, on old school tackle and so forth.
And he put a lot of time in.
And he just didn't come of age during a later year when, you know, because these guys went big time, publicity and this and that. And maybe Tony wasn't a big enough self-promoter. Maybe he was content just to run his, you know,
his resort
up there and just, you know, be low-key. He wrote a couple books.
Yeah.
He never really got a whole lot of fame and fortune necessarily like some of the guys that followed in his footsteps. But that guy really was a legend back in the day. And like Rod said, he was kind of Rod's idol. And I started reading his books before I read anybody's books back in the day.
Do you remember him talking and reading about how he, you know, he started the shore fishing thing where he'd find the deepest drop off on a lake close to shore. And then he'd row out and drop the suckers in the deep water. And we're talking 30, 40 feet, right? Drop them out there. Go back to shore with his clients, start a fire on shore to keep warm, and had the rods on pole holders, right, and or on sticks or whatever,
right,
and just sit there on the shore and wait. And he actually caught big fish that way.
So they he was the one, because I remember
Tony
reading
Rizzo.
Al Denninger used to do that on the Chippewa Flow,
He got that from Tony Rizzo.
He got the idea from Tony.
And Tony Rizzo did that all the time,
And he caught a lot of big muskies back in the day.
And he was on his resort was on Star Lake, if I remember.
Right, there's Star and the Ballard's right up there.
Well, yeah, they're
and,
all
another one starts and, with an A.
Well, anyway,
Irving.
Irving. That starts with an E, I think.
Well, it starts with an I, Tom. We got to go to break.
Or is it an I? Yeah. Well, is it an E or an I?
Whatever.
Whatever. All right, we'll be right back, Danny. He's Danny Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. He's Ryan Horvath on the boards. And he's Brett Favre on the cover of that book.
Right after this McBreak.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
It's the final countdown. The final countdown. Oh, we're headed for Venus. And still we stand tall.
Welcome back to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors. 799-1250 is the number. So, Tom, I was talking about the CWD before. And as you know, the governor had a conference call talking about some new initiatives and so forth. The transferring of the carcasses and all the different things. But, you know, the CWD map that the DNR used to put out would just have all these counties shaded in that were CWD affected. Now, you would think if that CWD affected, Tom, what would that mean to you?
That there's CWD in that county.
Wrong.
No? Really?
Look at the new map. The new map is is much more interactive. We'll get to that call because I know you're anxious to get
there. No, I just was letting you know.
Go ahead.
I was just letting you know.
Bill with a fishing report.
Hi, Bill. Good morning.
Hey, top of the morning, guys.
What's up?
Hey, you know, two things. The white bass are starting to run. They're starting to hit up in Oshkosh and that. They just started. The walleyes are doing really good on the local lakes around here. I mean, really good. I've seen some really nice fish come in pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about the lakes within I don't know, half-hour drive, 20, yeah. 25 minutes. Just get out there. Where the walleyes are, they're biting. One thing I wanted to say about those brookies, right when, if you want big brookies in the spawn right now, right where, you know, where the Hone Bridge is, where everybody fishes the perch yeah. and the salmon,
yeah.
right where it makes the bend by that restaurant and coming up behind, oh, God, what's that street? Water Street there on that bend.
Yeah.
There, the guys are catching. I've seen 6-7 pounders. I've never seen them bigger than that, but they're just beautiful fish when they get that big. Oh,
well, that
God.
Is that's pretty big, yeah. That's still
yeah,
very, very
right
big.
Right on that
yeah.
corner. If you want to fish those brookies, that's where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I wanted to say. Just back from the great state of Alaska again.
What'd you shoot?
I just went along for the 120-mile raft trip. I did a lot of paddling, three
yeah.
to five, 7 to 10 hours a day when there was no current,
okay.
3 days straight. But the kids, they shot black bear with their bows. I was just along as a chaperone.
Okay, that's
cool. I was
cool.
the Grizz keeper of a weir with the gun.
Well, that's good. You had the gun just in case.
Did
right,
you see any
right.
Grizz?
That was my job.
Yeah. I suppose
I shot enough of everything. I didn't really care, but I had a blast with the kids. You know, it's changing of the guards for me.
Yeah. Okay.
But so that's what I wanted to say, and I wanted to tell everybody: you can hunt black bear over the counter up there. You can hunt everything over the counter up there, and it costs me less once you get established, know what you're doing, than going out west or whatever.
All right.
And I still have leeches, nice ones. If anybody needs them.
All right. He's Bill from Sportsman's Den on 54th and Villard. So give him a call, especially if you need them leeches. All right?
Thanks.
All right. See you,
Take
Bill.
Take care, Bill.
Okay. You were saying about CW. Now, you would think there would be CWD in that county if it says that there is, right?
Well, no. They used to just have a shaded county.
Yeah.
And so, like, where I hunt, Monroe County, I thought, oh, now it's got CWD. No. They haven't detected one there yet. The new map... Basically, if you go onto the website, it's a color kind of a map. It shows like there's like a little black square where they've had a CWD wild positive location.
Okay.
Then they've got hunting preserves that have had CWD. They've got deer farms that have had CWD, and past positive CWD farms. And then they've got, you know, the other ones that are shaded are like a CWD affected county, which means that there's been one within 10 miles. So a CWD affected county is a watch county because it's within 10 miles of a CWD positive detection. So like Monroe County, there was a positive detection in Juneau and Vernon County, but none in that county. So when you actually look at the actual wild, the actual CWD wild positive locations, there's hardly any in the northern states. They got all these states shaded like you would think there's all kinds of CWD.
Yeah.
There's not very few. Look at the map. Go online and look it up. There's very few positive detections in wild as far as in the wild population. Looks like there's more in those deer farms. Which is a problem. But the huge, the bulk of it is just around the Dane County area,
right.
Where the original area is down south. That
right.
south western corner of Wisconsin is where it's just, there's all over that
yeah.
Madison, even up into Richland,
yeah.
Sauk, Dane, Greene, Lafayette. And that's where the bulk of it is. So, you know, it's too bad they didn't wipe it out like they were trying to do years ago.
They tried.
But nobody wanted to go along with it.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to shoot their deer. So, I don't know. It's just too bad because it just did get worse. But, you know, in looking at this, I feel a little bit better because there's not hardly any wild ones that CWD wild positive location. Look at the map. There's not that much of it. So that makes me feel a little more comfortable hunting up north because
yeah.
it really isn't super prevalent yet.
No, up in the county where your hacienda's at.
If you go north, now if you go all the way up, Douglas, Bayfield, Ashland, Iron, they're not even affected yet. In other words, there hasn't been one within 10 miles of their county line that's been detected. I think the furthest north I see is Washburn County.
Okay.
Washburn County. And
so are you thinking of, if you harvest a deer, that taking it to one of those kiosks and dropping off the head?
That's what I was thinking. But now I'm looking at this map and I'm thinking, why bother? But I'm just curious, how easy is that kiosk thing?
I don't know, but I'll tell you
how. How do you tag it? Yeah. Do they have a little saw right there that you can use to cut the head off? Or do you gotta,
I think that's up to you.
You gotta have your own
saw
in the back of the
probably.
You gotta get like 5 inches of the neck too,
yeah,
I guess, from
the
head.
You know, this whole thing, all this conversation in the last number of years has really gotten deer hunters to think about what they're eating, you know, what they're consuming, whether they should consume it or not. I talked to a lot of guys that said, you know what? I'm not gonna eat a deer this year, because they're in areas where it has been detected, let's say, and they don't want to take a chance. And I say, well, why don't you just drop the head off? Yeah, and then have that, go through all that work of, you know, cleaning it, having it in the freezer.
Well, whatever this county.
And then what, I got to take it out then and whatever?
Dane County and whatever that county is to the west of it, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't even bother hunting there, because it's just.
Yeah,
whole,
I know
the
all
whole
of
map.
Those.
The whole map here is just black,
right?
With
right.
all the ones that they've detected
right.
there.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'll tell you, that is just crazy. I don't know. Well, I don't have to worry about. Oh, actually, I do, because if my friend or son, you know, shoot one and want to share some meat with me, then I got to think about it, you know.
Nah, you're so old it wouldn't even bother anyway. by the time that stuff gets you. Something else will get you first, man.
Probably, Danny. Hey, listen, we got more to talk about, but we got to save it for next week, all right?
All right. That's all I got.
Me too.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening, and God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to the Midwestern Shooter's Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors. We'll talk to you all next week. Do something nice for someone today, my friends.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.